Welcome to Openly Gamer Theater's production of The Dragon Variation, a Shadowrun roleplay drama.
This is Shannon. I'm playing Nightfall.
This is Dan, and I'm playing Fastback.
This is Mike. I will be playing Frenzy.
This is Brandon. I'm playing Talisman.
This is Brandy. I'm playing Poison Lily.
This is Jason, and I'm playing Astral Glide.
I'm Sean, and I'm playing Blockade.
Be warned, the following content may not be suitable for all audiences.
Up to this point, all you really know about the Humanus job is that it was totally pooched. A black mark that stained the careers of all those involved. Before we move on, it's best you know exactly what that job was and what was involved.
Hey guys.
What's up, bro?
Hey, Tommy. Looking a little rough.
What are we drinking?
Perrier. That's what I'm drinking.
You think Lou will mind I getting Sundoes delivered?
Nah, Lou will mind.
We sells coffee here for like a quarter, so I doubt it. Here, I got you covered.
Thanks.
What'd you find out, Tommy?
The job. They want us to find that girl. Found out her name's Jenna Mayfair, daughter of some security biz COO. His name's Joseph Mayfair. Business is called Crow Risk Assurance. It's a subsidiary of Cross Allied Technologies. This Mayfair guy, he's pretty active in the Orc Underground.
Are we sure this girl didn't just run away or something?
No, man, she was taken. For real.
Okay.
Whenever we were given the picture, I sent it to a couple of friends of mine, and a guy I know, member of the Reality Hackers, knows where she's at.
You mean like right now?
Yeah.
Well, so where is she?
Some abandoned machine parts factory in Puyallup. Place hasn't been used except for like squatters and junkies and stuff since like 17, man.
You don't know who's on the lease or anything on that building?
It's all that stuff's been abandoned since Mount Rainier. But anyway, but here, look at this. This is the place, man. It's a factory. My friend, Albert, he says there's been all kinds of activity around this place. And he said he swears he saw that kid. And look at this. Like 2 months ago, all of these cargo containers that you're seeing here, they weren't there. Ran some origins. I got Montreal. I got Las Vegas. I got Boston. That's where most of these things are coming from.
Okay. It's not really all that unusual, is it?
For an abandoned factory?
Well, it is abandoned, yeah. That's a little weird.
Well, how do we know somebody's not just set up some kind of clandestine, you know, Nova meth operation or something?
Friend of yours who saw the girl, he's pretty reliable?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as reliable as a reality hacker can be.
Okay.
I checked the cargo container numbers, tried to run them against the Port Authority. A lot of them, they don't even exist. Somebody erased them. Either that or the customs records have been completely altered.
And that's a lot of palms being greased in order for this to work.
We may be onto something much larger than a missing girl.
Yeah. I don't know if I like this.
It gets worse. With Fastback's help, I talked to a smuggler contact. He says that some of these originates from some guy named Nasui Moyo. Apparently this guy's a real bad dude. Metahuman trafficking, drugs, prostitution. I mean, this is a really bad guy.
So like mobbed up?
He's Nigerian. He's like a Nigerian, like, war boss living in Montreal. In the process of doing this, I uncovered this name. It's something that Johnson said.
Yeah.
Kobe. Remember?
The doctor?
Right. Right. So I ran the name Kobe, too, right? Like the guy said, he was some sort of scientist guy. Mitsuhama. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it's believed that he might be the Doctor, Alamos 20K.
Into metahuman experiments and all kinds of terrible stuff.
Right.
I read a quote that said he makes Joseph Mengele look like a nice guy.
Something bad is going on in that place.
Clearly, we cannot handle this ourselves. We're going to need some other muscle.
Yeah, if this intel is right, which it adds up.
Right. I say we call, I'm thinking like Lily, Blockade.
Well, Tommy said he's already talked with Fastback a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
I'm always talking to Nightfall, so.
Right. How about Frenzy?
Fucking weird, man.
It's weird.
He's good at his job, though.
Yeah. Apex. He's a fucking ninja, man.
Mm. I got one last thing to show you, and it's really interesting. This Kobe, right? Looking around, I did any kind of like searches that I could find. Well, look at this. I talked to Albert, my reality hacker friend, told him, you know, we're kind of interested in this place, and could he and the hackers scout the place out for us? He sent me his entire log of a stakeout of the place, okay?
Yeah.
Look at this. See that guy right there? That's Kobe. He's there.
No shit.
Now look at this. Guys around him, all Yakuza. All of them have matching tattoos. Japanese calligraphy tattoo on their neck.
That's Unity, right?
Yeah, it's definitely Unity.
Or, I mean, is that the correct translation?
That's how I translate it, yeah.
Right, right. The Pacific calligraphy would be Unity, right. This is also the artisan symbol for a guy named Kenzo Kodora. Kenzo Kodora is like a technological renaissance man. He's created some of the most important technology mankind has never even heard of.
Like, what are we talking about?
Like stuff that major corporations are keeping under lock and key because they don't want it out. Namely, a way to download your own consciousness into the Matrix.
I've heard rumors about that shit before, but that's not real.
Well, according to Kenzo Kodora, it's possible. And these guys all bear his mark.
I don't know. I say we frag this whole thing and go to Berlin or something. What do you say?
No way.
Berlin? This time of year?
Okay, Johannesburg. What the fuck?
You always were a bit of a coward.
Coward? Hey, now, hold on. Which one of us had to sleep in an alley? Me and this guy did. We had to sleep in an alley. You didn't have to sleep in an alley.
Probably make you very tough.
Bullshit.
Gotta save those kids, man.
I'm not saying we're not going to save the kids. We can always send the stuff to Lone Star. They can take care of it.
Yeah, they'll be right all over it.
Well, you know, the good ones.
We'll send it to the good ones then.
I'm thinking we're not getting paid enough, is all I'm saying. I mean, it's one thing to go and get one kid, you know, from one bunch of thugs. But now we're going to have to go bust a kid and a God knows how many other kids from some kind of quasi-techno Yakuza.
Well, listen, Glide, we got a job that we've already agreed to go get the kid. And we have a chance to take out the Doctor, which would be doing the world a huge favor while we're at it. Just get the team together. Let's give it a shot. We can do this.
I know we can do
it. Piece of cake.
We got this, man. Trust me.
Hey.
Tommy wouldn't lead us astray.
Oh, yeah, we can do this. Now that we're back together, we can do this.
Welcome back. There he is.
Got all that? Let's get on with it. Something that's sometimes forgotten, when it comes to Shadowrunners, we tend to be a paranoid group. There's a good reason for that. When getting fucked over is the norm, you learn very quickly that there are no real friends in this biz. I can't tell you how many times a group of splat jobs, even on a direct run, will frag up and get too close to their teammates. Attachments in this game get you killed, or worse. SOP for a prime runner is keep your personal shit personal. Why have a fucking street name if everyone knows your business? People like Glide, Talisman, Lily, they so desperately want you to be their friend. Like there's something missing or broken inside of them. They unload all their problems and real life drama on you. Like that'll save them when the tables turn. And I'm standing there with a wad of Nuyen, ready to stick my K-bar in their brainstem. So when it comes to contacts, secure safe houses, drop points and meeting places. Only chumps give up their best ones.
I'll triangulate everybody's positions and find a centralized, amicable meeting spot.
close to a Sundo.
Everywhere is close to Sundo.
Nougat Burger on Main.
Blockade may look like an absolute meathead, but when it comes to the biz, he's a pro.
You all get a little pin in your
which
map.
Which Nougat Burger on Main?
The clean one.
I don't think there's a clean one. There is?
Quit bitching, let's go.
Nougat Burgers are perfect spots for quick meetups. Modular by design. No single restaurant is different from another. Completely same layout, which includes a nicely secure storage area and employee break room in the basement. Even in places like Albuquerque, where no one has basements, each of their 30 downtown Nougat Burgers restaurants do. Another perk, every single one I've ever been in has been managed by some tweaker whose only ambition is his next fix, or a burnout with a fraggin' boneyard in his closet.
I got Sundo for everybody. I got those big cartons.
I'm sure the Nougat Burger manager is going to appreciate you bringing in Sundo coffee and not drink the Nougat coffee.
Well, that's why you just got to bring the manager here his own Sundo, because he knows where the good shit is.
Fucking Sundo. Overpriced coffee for sorry men and white girls in stretch pants. I swear Fastback must have a deal with them or something. Like free coffee for life because some disgruntled employee jizzed in his latte. He's always peddling that shit.
The pock-faced Nougat Burger attendant watched Lily as she made her way past the menu kiosks towards the back. She'd been here before. At least, she thought she had. A hard-eyed orc met her just as she set foot in the kitchen, escorted her down the back steps toward the staff break room just beyond the dry storage area. A putrid stench, like rotten meat, hit her full in the face. She opened her mouth to ask her escort about it. Then her eyes caught a glimpse of boots poking out from behind a pallet of boxes. Always wary of an ambush, her hand slowly migrated toward her holstered predator. When she saw the cold, glazed eyes of the boots' occupant, she eased up. From the smell, the body had been there a while. OD'd Joey girls in Nougat Burger basements wasn't her business, so she didn't give the corpse another thought. Turning, she saw the orc standing in front of the door to the break room. She casually approached him, noting another oddity. Something incongruent with every other Nougat Burger she'd ever been in. A rusty weapons locker bolted to the wall. The dented, mesh door was misaligned from years of abuse. It hung open, allowing her to see its contents. A sorry-looking AK-97. The thing was held together by frayed duct tape. She heard rumors of some Nougat Burger staff supplementing their income with selling stolen goods. She absently wondered if the thing was even serviceable.
It shouldn't have to be said, but never buy a hot assault rifle from a punk at a drive-thru window.
She stepped through the open doorway and smiled. Her team had arrived ahead of her. Everyone sat around the break room's scarred plastic table, all except Blockade, who loomed in the back of the cramped room, looking pitifully uncomfortable. Taking her seat, she nodded to Fastback, and then Nightfall.
Before we start, I'll have my cracked sprites do suppression, which will raise the noise in the area.
I don't know about my brother and my friend Frenzy down there, but I'm going to be astrally perceiving like the whole time. Make sure we're not being watched.
I'll just have Rude on the prowl too. All right, what did we learn?
Found out that ganger that I recognized.
The orc ganger's pick popped into everyone's AR desktop.
The other guy there, he goes by the name of Wooly. He hangs out at the Crossbones Tavern.
Got it. Crossbones. What do we know about Crossbones?
It's an interesting place. I talked with the bartender there.
You went there?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Legwork, son.
Sometimes you got to do work. Talked to the bartender there. I got to view a little bit of a security footage.
The captured video appeared in a separate window and began running.
Wooly did, in fact, meet there. He's a semi-regular. He's in a gang, as Blockade said. The Crimson Crush is kind of on the back end of his career there.
Yeah, he don't really run with them no more, but he does have the support of them still.
Right. Do we know anything about the Crimson Crush?
They do just local stuff. They're just a small-time little drug ring.
He met at the Crossbones with the scary-looking Japanese guy that we have
picture
of, and then...
Do we have a name on this guy yet?
I've got nothing. And a man in a suit who I can only assume may have been their Johnson. On the security footage, I was able to glean through some lip-reading a comlink number. I got no name on him.
Anyone?
I do. His name's Jesse Schultes. He's a low-level records exec with Ares.
Ares.
Out of the home office in Detroit. He's currently suspended for some files that have come up missing. Ares has labeled him as a security risk because of the missing files, but they also believe he's a double agent. He's currently being surveilled by Knights Errant. When I spoke to my contact said that he was at 5th and Madison, which, as you all know, is Dante's Inferno. His final suspension hearing is tomorrow. He'll be flying back tomorrow. If a guy is a double agent, he's probably going to try and stick to that ID, and he's going to fly back. So I think we need to get to Dante's, like,
how long has this guy been in Seattle? Do we know?
No. She was pretty forthcoming with information on him, and she's also extended the offer of a cash reward should we find anything to indicate that he is a double agent.
Nightfall, what do you got?
Our girl isn't just some two-bit runner. Amaniel, actually, it means dragon's daughter because she is a dragon's daughter. She's also running the Lesa, which is the Elven Mafia. We got to be careful who we talk to about her.
Well, that's some brave souls right there, taking a dragon's daughter for real.
You trying to tell me she was hatched out of an egg?
Adopted.
Oh, I'm with you.
But she has the backing of a dragon. How does that happen?
Maybe they had a falling out.
It's got to be another dragon that ordered the...
If you watch the news, Hestabe is on the outs. So she has plenty of enemies.
She may have plenty of enemies, but it still takes big brass cojones to...
Mylan Talus is also, obviously, a member of the Lesa. And was the brother of Leonard Talus, the Undersecretary of State.
Of
the Tyr.
That's kind of a higher echelon government job. Has to have attracted some attention. Well, I guess we are the attention.
So our only lead right now is at Dante's.
Schultes.
Yep.
What about Frenzine? Did you find anything?
Get me Schultes and I'll find out everything you want to know.
That's the Frenzine I remember. We can't shoot him out.
Right.
We can't pull him out. We can't hack him out. Try talking him out.
What's the plan from there?
Ideally, you get him out, then we put Frenzine on him.
Yeah.
Okay.
You brought your dancing shoes, Blockade?
Boy, did I.
Dante's Inferno, the pinnacle of downtown Seattle nightlife. Unlike most of the businesses in the Emerald City, it did not rely solely on augmented reality to set itself apart. Any way you viewed it, Dante's was iconic. A towering 9 majestic stories of neo-Gothic beauty and excess. Inside, each level corresponding with a different deadly sin, except 8 devoted to purgatory, and the 9th level, hell, where only the elite were allowed to play, and by invitation only. A scene of desperation and glamour played outside every night. Everyone anxious to get in, the line spiraled up and around the outside of the building, on a beautiful Baroque wrought iron staircase, balconies of which, corresponding to each inside level, hosted parties of their own. After waiting for hours to finally reach the roof, where the club's entrance was located, guests were hand-picked, purely based on the whim of those manning the door, who meticulously scrutinized each person that walked up. Someone that was allowed one night wasn't necessarily admitted the next. The elite were greeted at the street level VIP entrance by elegantly dressed doormen and then escorted to their approved level. The exclusivity of the Inferno made people rabidly obsessed with getting in and being seen.
Being admitted that first time is like a drug. Addictive. That first taste, and you're hooked. No other club would ever be the same. Dante's gotten your blood, corrupted your soul.
Your street name will get you in here. Still, even with your street rep, you're going to have to stand outside for hours.
I'll be in the car.
The contacts in Glide's eyes gave off a slight glow as he quickly opened his AR desktop. Suzanne provided enough information to get them this far. But it was Nightfall who hijacked Knight Errant's signal and pinpointed Schultes' implanted lojack. Glide looked up at the building. A glowing green dot was pulsating deep inside the 6th floor. He turned his attention to the swelling crowd amassed near the foot of the great staircases. Then back to Frenzy, whose eyes were hooded in annoyance.
This is taking too long. Let's go to the doorman.
Okay.
It's you two?
Yeah.
All right.
And
I'm gonna
Blockade.
Oh, Blockade?
Yeah, Blockade's our muscle.
The line is...
I'm going to cut.
All right, the burly bouncer guy puts his hand out.
Whoa. Slow down, Jummer. The line starts back there.
Are you new here?
That tough guy act may get you into matchsticks, Ome. This is Dante's. Slot off.
Tell Alessio Frenzy's here.
Defiant, the dapper troll stooped to stare at Frenzy, eye to eye. Beside him, his dwarven partner raised an AR glove and began accessing his virtual desktop.
I don't think so, buddy.
Clyde turned his head away and smiled. Everything was being recorded, likely streaming to the club's security host, but he knew Nightfall sprites made sure no one would ever see it. A change in the dwarf's body language caught his attention. His cool, aloof demeanor was replaced by an edge that made Clyde nervous. Whatever information the dwarf had been given, he then passed on to his troll partner, because the huge doorman straightened and began to sweat.
Watch this.
What floor are you visiting tonight, sir?
6.
Does your party need an escort?
Yes.
Very well. I've been instructed to personally accompany you and assist with anything you may need. Welcome back to Dante's Inferno.
The fuck have you been doing?
Not fucking up.
I friggin' love Frenzy, man.
The troll bouncer led them from the VIP elevator and onto the 6th floor. The level of Dante's Inferno solely devoted to greed. It was here, more than any other floor, that separated the elite from everyone else. As they approached the smoked glass doors that separated the floor's VIP lounge from the rest, their escort pressed a meaty thumb to a maglock sensor built into the wall and stepped aside, allowing them to enter before turning and making his way back through the crowd.
Greed level was never my favorite. Sure, the trim's always nice, but who the hell wants to pay 600 new yen for a domestic pilsner?
Immediately, you see Schultes sitting on this very cushy black ottoman, and there's two scantily clad people kneeling next to him. One is holding a crystal goblet of some liquor and slowly letting him take sips from the glass, while the other one is doing Novacoke off of his leg, right up near the bend of his hip. The other two people in here, one's a human, one's a dwarf, and both are standing right behind the ottoman where he's lounging.
So they're his security detail.
That's what it looks like.
Where's the bar in here?
It's just to your right as you're walking in.
I'm going to just go lean on the bar for right now.
The bartender, a cleanly shaved orc in an immaculate white-on-white tuxedo, smiled broadly up at Blockade.
Welcome to Greed, sir. You'll find nothing but the best.
We don't have time to fuck around.
I was going to walk straight up to him as well.
I'll order a beer.
That will be 600 million.
Schultes kind of gives you a bored look as you walk up. He's like Emperor Caligula.
I'll be standing next to Blockade, and like occasionally I'll be looking up.
Lily placed her hand gently on the shoulder of the glass-eyed bimbo, kneeling beside Schultes. From the look of her, she wasn't registering anything that was going on, and very likely on the verge of checking out. A firm shove, and the girl slumped to the floor, lying in a heap at the feet of Schultes's security detail. Clyde gave Lily a sly grin and sat on the opposite side of Schultes.
That looks like a good time. Do you mind if we join you?
Oh, nice. Just what the doctor ordered. I think I'll call you Bianca. And you I'll call Tony. Tony, this is Donnie.
Hey, Donnie. How you doing?
I'm much better than here, baby. Are you two a package deal, or...
Tony, be a dear and tell that hideous orc behind the bar to give us 2 bottles of his finest champagne.
Generous. Thank you.
We're celebrating my last night in Seattle. I want to see, feel, and taste every bit of the local fare before I go.
Any chance you'd like to go somewhere a little more intimate?
I'm not into intimate, baby.
All right, a little more dirty?
Oh, you are my kind of joy toy. But, alas, there just isn't time. Oh, but if we did. Dirty. I'd show you its true meaning. Every succulent inch of you.
What do we call you?
Enough, enough! Before you start to bore me. Instead of asking asinine questions, Tony, Let's put that perfect mouth to some good use.
That's not working. I'm just going to try Silver Tongue Devil on him. I'm going to be using Commanding Voice, which is I will roll 12 dice versus his willpower and intuition.
And he's a high motherfucker right now. Very few drugs that I am aware of increase your willpower.
And I am going to edge this. 7.
Net 5?
The number of successes does matter in terms of Commanding Voice, whether or not they would obey.
Follow me out the door.
He stands. The bodyguards just kind of start following behind him.
I was going to try to con them into staying here.
That's splitting your pool, because you're doing it to two people.
Okay, then I'm going to have to spin edge. 4 on the first one.
So that's net 2.
6 on that one.
So net 4.
Hey, fellas, we're going to have a little bit of a private party in the bathroom. I need you guys to wait here for us to get back.
Okay. Wait. The boss doesn't like us to be too far away. And he usually lets us watch.
No, he told me to tell you guys that you need to stay here and wait for us.
Oh, sure. Well, anything for you, doll.
The mob of people milling about the base of the stairs outside the club barely noticed a matte black bulldog step van slowly creep up to the front of the building, just opposite the VIP door. Inside the van, Fastback and Nightfall sat, monitoring the team's comm channel.
I've got him. He's in tow. Don't forget, Knight's Errand is probably watching him.
I pull up to the front.
One of the security guards, you know, the doorman, kind of wave you.
Hey. Hey, you. Hey, buddy. You can't park there.
I'm just not. Yeah.
Front door opens, and you see Lily and Glide walking out with Schultes in tow.
I open the door.
And then shortly thereafter, Blockade and Frenzy come walking out. He steps out into the front of the club. You see him kind of frown for a second.
What the fuck are we doing?
A slight squeak escaped Schultes' lips as Blockade grabbed him by the back of his neck, lifted him off his feet, and manhandled him through the side door of the van.
You got him?
Yeah.
Trank him. Tear out.
As the van squealed away, Glide and Lily immediately turned and began walking in opposite directions. Glide winked at Frenzy as he passed, leaving him standing next to the dwarven doorman.
Antonio, call me a taxi.
Yes, sir, Mr. Frenzy. Right away.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of The Dragon Variation. Theme music by Dot Sound. Background music by Machinima Sound. Edited by Daniel Helderman. Written, produced, and directed by Eric Osler. Openly Gamer Theater would like to thank Catalyst Game Labs for allowing us to make this production. Any commercial use of this production is prohibited. Shadowrun is copyrighted property of the Topps Company. Openly Gamer Theater is trademark property of Side Tangent Productions.